just read one scripture and then we'll go on into some other areas here that we want to look at tonight briefly. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. I want to look at a very familiar passage, but I think that God can speak to us in it. I know he's been speaking to my own heart in it. I feel that it needs to take a hold of each one of our lives. It's the only place that faith can work. It's a passage that probably we've gone over time and time again. You've heard it not 100 times, but maybe 1,000 times. So God must quicken us tonight if we're going to look at it again to see the truth of it, and then go on to some other scriptures here as we look at this. And this is found in the 11th chapter of John. John 11. Jesus hearing about Lazarus. As you read this account, and I'm not going to read the whole account, but I know as we've read it before and we take a look at it, we see the many questions that arise from Jesus' encounter with Martha and Mary both. And you see the aspect of even sometimes our own lives, as we believe that God is God, we believe that God is going to resurrect us. We believe that God can do anything. But the one thing is that sometimes we do not step on into that and realize and see it worked out in our lives. But let me just read a few verses here. Then said Martha unto Jesus, this is the 21st verse, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. That's true. She saw that much. But did she see enough? Did she really see who Jesus was? She confessed a number of things. And I say, as I must put myself, you must put your own self in these circumstances. I mean, we believe, she believed. She believed in the resurrection. She believed that he was the Son of God. But there was one thing that she did not see. And this is what Jesus was trying to reveal to her. Listen to it. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. What confidence? She saw the plan of God. Jesus said unto her, and I want you to listen to all of it, I am the resurrection. Don't stop there. And the life. So simple that we pass on over. Let me just go and read a little bit further. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Tremendous testimony in it. But she yet did not see. Her eyes were not open. And I think many times we fail to move into the realm that God has called us to walk in. for just this same reason. We know these things. We've been told these things. Let me just take us over to Philippians for a moment. One statement that the Apostle Paul makes, let me just start to read at the 20th verse. According to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, which, whether it be by life or by death. Now listen to this statement. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. It's not what Christ can do for me. It's not what I believe about Christ. For me to live, I am the resurrection and the life. It's not what we believe about God, it's who we are in God, whether we are experiencing God. Because many people believe certain things, right? So we must come past just the believing. And I don't want to take away from believing, but if we're only believing in our mind, we're only believing facts that we have heard, we fail to make this a reality. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. But I think I know what that means. And I think most of us know what that means. But to live is Christ. To live is Christ. Now, let's go on over to Colossians for a moment. Take a look at this. In the first chapter, the 26th verse, even the mystery, which has been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. I am the resurrection and the life. It brings us to a place past what God can do for us. Past what I believe about him. Into the realization of him. For me to live is Christ. He is the sum total of everything that I live. Not live for. He doesn't live for Christ. For him to live is Christ. It's a big difference. Some of us live for Christ. We try to please Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. For me to live is Christ. It's Christ in you. Another place it goes on to say there in Colossians, as we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And of course, we've just come out of Galatians not too many weeks back and saw the aspect there of walking in the Spirit and walking in Christ and what it really means to be freed from all of these other things. And this is the secret, as simple and as profound as it is. It's a simple statement, and I know each one of us, sometimes we just pass on by it, but I don't know, as I looked at it this week, it's just, you can't pass over this simple truth, because it's more profound than just a statement of fact. It is what Christ came to give us. It isn't a question whether we're going to be raised from the dead in the last resurrection. That's not the question. He is the resurrection. He says, if you believe on me, you've already passed from death unto life. And then Paul comes and makes this simple statement, which just causes us to wait upon the Lord more. For me to live is Christ. Take that in every aspect of our lives. For me to live is Christ. It isn't just that I'm here for Christ. For me to live is Christ. Listen to Paul in Galatians 2:20, which is a scripture that we just can't seem to get off of. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Are we finding this realization? Tonight, can we say, for me to live is Christ? Now, when I'm saying this, I'm looking that the Holy Spirit can search each one of our hearts. Not that we want to just introspect, but that God would break upon our heart with a fresh revelation of himself and what this statement means. Because I believe it's essential. Essential. For me to live is Christ. And to know the working out, as we see in the second chapter here of Colossians, after we read that sixth verse, we go on into the seventh, rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith, as we have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, for the tradition of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. I was thinking about different expressions, trying to allow the Holy Spirit to redefine what the church is to my heart. And I set down certain things, and as you start to just briefly look at them, because I don't want to spend too much time with them, because nothing edifying, nothing yet can nourish your soul through them. But there's an area that is expression that each one of us have heard before. It's fundamentalism. That's it? It has no meaning as far as Christ is concerned to be a fundamentalist. Doesn't say anything but that you have certain facts in your mind and you have redefined in your mind what he is. There's another expression that is heard in the Christian circles, evangelicalism. A little difficult to get all of these isms and stuff in there, but bear with me. What does it mean? What does this evangelicalism mean? It means that they are doing something in their own strength for God. They've had to redefine it. And then another expression, Pentecostalism. What does that mean? Why do we have to look at words like this? What does it mean to us? Well, it means that somebody has experienced God one time and put a name on it. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. You can throw out all of these other things and the expressions which, when we hear them, they tell us certain things, but they don't tell us anything about Christ. Not one thing. Names, in fact, these three names divide. Right? If you look at them, these three names, three words that define certain expressions, divide men when it comes to Christ. are the work of God. In fact, all of these things probably never materialized as far as being expressed until recent days, when people tried to come back to the faith because the Spirit had left them and they were trying to find a reality in the letter. And that's why I say tonight to come back to the simplicity. For me to live is Christ. There are certain things that go along for me to live is Christ. Certain things that are going to be manifested in my life. I'm not reaching out for souls. That's not my goal. For me to live is Christ. But in that expression, my life will be an outflowing of His life. It will touch in. It will reveal sin. It will bring the power that sets the captive free. I don't have to put a name on it. Are you fundamental? No, I'm not fundamental. Why aren't you fundamental? For me to live is Christ. Is Christ fundamental? Is Christ evangelical? Is Christ Pentecostal? Is Christ Protestant? Catholic? You name it. I say these things for us to get a glimmer of what Paul is saying here, because it brings us back to one thing, the sinner. Christ. Why have we strayed so far? Because these things definitely creep into our hearts and minds to be something. And yet, Paul said, made one statement, for me to live is Christ. And I think you see this displayed throughout the apostles' writing. Maybe not just in these same words, but words that have the same meaning. And if we're going to experience God, if we're going to know what God is doing, if our hearts are going to be open, if our minds are going to be illuminated with that divine revelation, the mystery to where we can enter in to the glorious working of His fellowship. Fellowshipping God, fellowshipping Christ, fellowshipping the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping what God is doing as far as the union or this unity that He has made in Christ Jesus. Then it's going to be, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And then I come back to Martha. If you were here, He would not have died. Yes, I know He will raise in the resurrection. I am the resurrection. And the life. Beloved, what I'm saying all of these things for is it destroys all of these different concepts of so-called Christianity. It destroys every concept that we may have or try to put upon Christ, and it brings us down to the reality, the simple expression of experiencing God. For me to live is Christ. We have heard certain things that thrill our hearts when we see the Apostle Paul down in jail, writing different ones and telling them to rejoice, and here he is being persecuted. It still was the same down in jail, for me to live is Christ. It changes our whole mentality in every situation. It brings it down to the simple relationship, for me to live is Christ. I was thinking this week also, where did we ever manufacture theologians? What are they for? They must have crept in when the Spirit crept out. Now, I'm not trying to be facetious, and I'm not trying to be funny about it, but just to think about it for a minute. Why did they come in? Why do they have to come in to redefine? He said, Jesus said his own words, I will send the Comforter. He will lead you into all truth. Why do we need all of these other writings and men that think that they know the letter and try to dissect it, run exegesis on the Word of God to tell us what it says when they don't know what it says? For me to live is Christ. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I will send a Comforter. He will lead you into all truth. He's going to teach you all things. As long as we're thinking that these others are really gifts from God, then we take our eyes off of the one that came to give us life. And the confession misses the mark unless we can say tonight, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. We're here for the will of God. You can say I can tell you other things that we may be here for. If we're doing the will of God, we're here for His glory, but we can only be to His glory if we're doing His will. In Christ Jesus, we're here for one purpose, and that is the will of God. It isn't everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, it's those that do the will of God. And this Christ is the will of God, and for me to live is Christ. Now, how can that work out in each one of our lives, in every circumstance that we find? Because it's going to, as the old saying goes, it's going to clean our plowshare. Right? It's going to take that thing and clean our act up. For me to live is Christ. It's going to take all the things that I can do and all of the religious acts that I may go through or think, and all of the definitions that I may give assent to, and bring me down to one thing. For me to live is Christ. Don't get tired of me saying that, because I might say it 100 times more before we sit down. Because I trust that God tonight can start to break that into our hearts in a fuller measure. If it has become dim, that I'm not living for God. For me to live is Christ. I'm not trying to serve God. For me to live. Because see, that trying and to serve, I'm His. For me to live is Christ. For you to live is Christ. It brings a manifestation of God into every circumstance you find yourself, every situation. That's where it starts to have meaning. You're here just for Him to experience His life. No other reason. You can't find another one. Most of us have said one time or another, why didn't He just take us on when He saved us? I know that some of us may not want to go that fast, but we take, and these things start to find question in our mind, you know, why am I here? We can only find real meaning for that when we find what this statement means. For me to live is Christ. Everything else, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. You can think about it all you want to, and we got a bunch of free thinkers. I call them free thinkers. Well, they got these places they call now, they got a new name for it, think tanks. I think that's what the theologians enter into, their think tanks. Again, I'm not trying to just be funny. I'm trying to say we need to destroy all these concepts so that we can come down to the one central factor in Christianity, and that is Christ. To know Him. For me to live is Christ. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men. How much tradition do we have? The rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. Glory. You are complete in Him. All of the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily, and you are complete in Him. Which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands. In other words, He entered on into the inward part of man. We're seeing all around us, man is trying to change man from the outside. Right? We spoke about it there not too long ago about trying to legislate morality. You don't legislate morality. You may think you do, but you can't. We're not going to change the world. Pilgrims and strangers. Oh, that needs, and the only way that can become a reality is for you when you say, for me to live is Christ. That's the only way that's going to mean anything. For you to be a pilgrim is for that statement to be a reality in your life. And you may think that's only for Paul, but that's not for Paul. That's for every Christian. For me to live is Christ. To let that break upon our heart, because the working out of it, of course, is in the union. It's in the abiding presence of the Spirit. It's in the anointing. All of these things must bring us into that relationship with God. Anointing, we speak lightly of it sometimes. We look for the anointing. It's the anointing that teaches us. It's the anointing that breaks the word upon our hearts. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. But these are those areas that must be working in each one of our lives, because we are a new creature. Brand new, brought into God's creation. One new man. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ. He's not here to further the Christian religion. He's here to live the life of Christ. For me to live is Christ. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. When you boil it all down, it's our life in Christ that has the only meaning that you can derive from the gospel. We are complete in Him. Now that's an easy statement. And the warnings before it, don't let the traditions of men or the philosophy of and vain deceit, or look after the rudiments of the world. They're not looking to Christ. They're not experiencing Him in everything. They're not seeing Christ in every situation. To realize Him, to know him in the situation. Now, we have sometimes, we get ourselves in a place and we try to enter into this area by mental assent. There's only one thing that can know God in any situation, and that's faith. We must believe that he is, and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That brings that diligence into it. We can't just float along when this statement is so wonderful and all-encompassing. To live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. It demands all. Can you start to see the difference? Can you put yourself in Martha's shoes? Can you put yourself in Mary's shoes? Can you listen to their questions? Can you listen to their statements? Can you see how close they were and yet how far away? Their eyes were blinded to the fact that he was life. And I think a lot of times we repeat the thing, the way, the truth, and the life, and yet we pass on by it. We do not know he is life. He that has a son has life. He is life. Now, beloved, I'm not telling you anything new tonight. In fact, this is the old, old, simple story. For me to live is Christ. But I believe that's where we need to live at all times, back in the simplicity of our relationship with God. I don't believe it gets all clouded up with all of these theologians that have to define everything. It brings us into the realization of this walk of faith. It warns us to stay away from philosophies. Can we discern what is a philosophy and what is not a philosophy? Because everything finds its meaning, as far as the Christian is concerned, in Christ. Let's look on over to, again, very familiar passages. We could look at probably 8th chapter of Hebrews, if we might. This is not a concept. Many have different concepts about Christianity. This is not a concept. Jesus Christ did not come to give us a concept. He came to give us life. What is life? He came to give us truth. He said he was truth. Pilate says, what is truth? And a lot of times this is what we ask. What is life? To live is Christ. To live is Christ. In the 8th chapter of Hebrews, speaking about the new covenant, again, to see how this brings us right into this new working of God. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to my people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And beloved, that's not knowing about him. All shall know me. All shall have experienced me. For me to live is Christ. The new covenant brings us into the realization of this. It cuts away at all of these other things. It just cleans our plow, so to speak. All of the things that we pick up along the way, all of the concepts that we read about and try to put into expression in our lives just cleans it away, brings it down to where we can say that we're clean. It's just Christ. And you say, what is that? That brings us in now as we start to build upon the foundation, because He is the foundation, He's the cornerstone. As our lives start to build upon, it's on a solid rock. It's on a rock that will stand through the storm, through the rain. Because it's no longer concepts. Christ is not a concept. Everything else is passing away. He is the only rock in a weary land. Only if our lives are built upon that rock. And the confession of those that are built upon the rock is, for me to live is Christ. That's the source. There is no other source. There is no other purpose. Just living His life. And of course, that anointing that He gives is going to work through a many-membered body. This supply of everybody as we build together. God builds it up. It's a spiritual building. This is not a natural building. This is a spiritual building. And all of it brings us to that one place. That whatever we may be doing, wherever we may find ourselves, that we can say without hesitation, I'm experiencing who I am. I am living His life. Oh, I didn't read the first part of Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ. For me to live is Christ. Glory. Now, beloved, I haven't brought a new revelation tonight. But I do pray that each one of us will take this before the throne of grace. This one statement, if nothing else that you've heard me say tonight, this one statement. That's why I've said it so many times. That it filled your mind to where you take it before and say, Lord, afresh, brand me with this. In my heart, in my mind, with my desires, everything. For me to live is Christ. Do we need a purpose? He is the purpose. You need motivation? He is the motivation. Who drew you? That is the statement of fact. Not of hope. That isn't a hope that Paul is talking about. That is a statement of fact. For me, to live is Christ. And I trust it will become more meaningful each day that we go through, in the days that are before us, that we too can start to say that with real meaning. For me, to live is Christ. You'll find that it cuts away all of the other things that you may think you're living for, what you're trying to do for God. It cuts all of that away. And brings us upon the simple revelation of why Jesus Christ came and what redemption is all about. He came that I might have life. He came that you might have life. And for you to have life is Christ. Life is not in yourself. So many times we're living our lives and we fit Jesus in. That's why tonight I feel he wants to show us you don't fit him in. For me to live is Christ. If you're a Christian tonight, you are a new creation in Christ. And for you to live is Christ. Not for Christ, is Christ. Glory? It is glorious. Don't let nobody kid you. Because you cannot read these expressions that Paul is giving and not see clearly, as the Holy Spirit would break it upon our heart, what he's talking about. And to me, any area that the Holy Spirit opens up to us, he's bidding us, come in. Come partake. Come drink. Come see that the Lord is good. Why do we stand afar off sometimes? Why does it take us so long to enter into some of these areas, to really experience them? We can make all kind of excuses, but the thing is tonight, do you belong to him? I trust that each one of us can say amen to that tonight. That I belong to him. I'm his. I don't belong to myself. For me to live is Christ. Glory.